Okay, we're back. We're ready to open the phone lines. Today's topic, nuclear arms limitations. Our guests, Undersecretary Simon Dryden and Sammy Davis Jr. Hi, you're on the air.
You are, and welcome to Alfsplaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
And this is a silly podcast where two friends watch some old episodes of the sitcom Alf and go, it's Alf, seen it, it's there, I can see it on the screen.
Don't do this podcast down, it's actually an extremely good podcast.
I mean, no, I want them to think, you know, lower their expectations, and then when we dazzle them with all this facts and information, and of course, witty badinage, they'll be like, well, my trousers were certainly not prepared for that whole...
That's an excellent point.
I feel I need to end that sentence. I said, my trousers were not prepared for that whole, which is a different thing. I was going to say, like, whole enterprise.
Never end that sentence. Never end the sentence.
Never end the sentence. So, much like that, today's ALF episode is episode 4. And it's called Pennsylvania 65,000, which I'm going to shock you now, John.
Yes?
Song reference.
Not again.
Song reference. I know, they keep doing it.
Unlike, it must be said, the Germans, because I've got here the insert for the German DVD, and this episode in Germany was called Großer Mann, was nun, which translates as Big Man, what now?
Oh.
Big Man, what now? So, which I think is a better title.
Which suggests that they've been listening to Morrissey's debut album, which has Little Man, what now? But that was 2 years later, so...
You think,
well,
really?
You know, maybe more. Yeah, he's got a track on there about a former '60s child star.
I knew Morrissey was a big Alf fan.
I think that might be it. I think we might be onto something. Maybe we found the thing that makes Morrissey acceptable, vaguely sort of from a distance.
Morrissey, if you're listening and you want to come on this podcast as a guest, there's always a chair for you, Morrissey, and a nut cutlet with your name on it.
There you go. Although it might say, I'm sorry, I don't agree with all the catting. I can smell a cat from somewhere.
Perhaps that's what turned him to vegetarianism. Alf's and his...
That's a good point.
Rampant cat chomping.
But yeah, it's all up there. So this episode aired in America on October 13th, 1986. Got 14.4 million American eyes on it and was 21st of the week, so he's steady away. It was directed by Peter Boners, which until someone tells me it's not pronounced like that, I'm just going with.
Oh, yes. There's no way if you were called Peter Boners, you'd pronounce it Bonnerts, would you?
I don't know. It depends if you were doing a keeping up appearances stuff. Everyone's going, oh, hey, here comes Boners. God, no, it's Bonnerts.
We'll look him up before the next episode because he does that one as well, doesn't he? And
we'll look up his bonus.
We'll look up his bonus on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, back then, I suppose it was like, you know, like we got bloopers, like
it was.
They're called Boners.
It very much was, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah. So this episode was written by Donald Todd, which sounds like a name made up by Bob Mortimer, but. I looked him up on the internet movie database. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's got more movies on it now. It's got television.
Good Lord.
And this bloke's written for everything. Genuinely.
Is he?
Yeah. He's written all sorts, yeah. Five episodes of Alf before he moved on to create The Van Dyke Show.
Good God.
Which is a sitcom for Dick and Barry Van.
Oh, Barry as well. The
pre-diagnosis.
Oh, marvellous. He's one of my favourite actors is Barry Van Dyke, seeing as though he only ever plays Barry Van Dyke.
Yeah, pretty much, which is probably why it only lasted 10 episodes. and apparently Donald Todd recently created the series Florida Man. which is on Netflix.
I enjoyed that series. I had no idea. Good lord.
I've not seen it, but I read the pre-see and thought, I wish I had Netflix.
In a sense, we all have, inverted commas, Netflix somehow, don't we? Piped into our houses.
Well, in some ways, via a back tunnel. Got back to Peter Boners again.
All this talk of boners and back tunnels, ladies and gentlemen.
classic program. Classy. We're talking about television, and very much here, we have got Alf starting in the cold open watching the telly.
Yes, there's a sort of establishing shot as well of the house, which is a lot more conventional, I think, of the era, isn't there? There's a shot of the house, the $2 million house, as we since learned.
It's almost to try and trick you to thinking it's just a standard American family sitcom, because presumably every sitcom on that year in America probably started with an establishing shot of a very middle-class house.
It is a very conventional way to start a show, yes, for what is a very unconventional show.
Well, this one is in particular. I mean, it's a very long cold open, which seems just like it's sort of bants, effectively, and then it actually leads.
I timed it. There was 3 minutes and 35 seconds before the title started on this episode, so that's...
I don't know if that's classified as a cold open at that point. I would say that's quite a heated open. Well-warmed open.
Yeah, very much. Burnt to a crisp.
Yeah,
open.
So Alf's listening to a TV phone-in, which I could recognise the voice of the unseen, yes, TV host a mile off.
Who also performs another impersonation later on.
Yeah, they get the
uncredited
money.
Of course. It just says celebrity voices were impersonated on the credits at the end.
It
so there's
did,
no
didn't it?
Credit for... do you want to reveal who the TV celebrity is?
I mean, I'll play a clip here and then they can say, yeah, obviously it's Harry Shearer.
Hello, Larry. Alf.
Yes, Alf. We haven't heard from you in a day or two now. How are you?
Fine, Lair. How's the sore knee?
Coming along.
Sammy! Shalom!
So, what's up?
Well, I've got the solution to this nuclear bomb thing.
Great. Let's hear it.
Get rid of them. They're dangerous.
Okay. Mr. Dryden, would you like to respond?
This is like... This is where the gold is, I think. Just Alf doing nonsense. Just, like, interacting in general. And
exactly. I mean... If you get into the plot of this show, we're into episode 4 and he's already embedded enough to be a regular caller to this TV show, it seems.
Yes.
They seem to know each other.
Yes, the weary when he phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's, the other thing was, he was. I thought it was very rude of the family to keep interrupting him. He was live on TV, basically.
Yeah.
And the family thought it appropriate to engage him in conversation and sort of yell at him about assorted things when... They may have had good reason to do that, but you wait until he's off the telly before you do that, don't you?
I mean, can you imagine if we're on Quizmania or something like that? You know, it could have come in up for thousands.
Exactly.
For seeing the word...
boners.
In the boner word search. Boner search. Anyway. So he's watching this programme, which is a standard TV sort of phone-in thing about nuclear arms limitations. And of course,
yeah.
Alf.
Keep it light, Alf. Keep it light.
Yeah, Alf is like doing business, but he's also like, yeah, my planet exploded, so I just want you to be safe. I don't want you to do anything which might, you know, risk the future of the planet, which is obviously a huge topic, and certainly one bigger than a program like Alf would A, cover it all. Never mind, it's fourth episode.
It's a surprise they've gone this heavy so early. This would make a good special episode, maybe at the end of the season or in season two or something like that. But
yes,
I mean, it's not a very special episode. It's a funny episode. It's not they don't go all serious about it, apart from a couple of mawkish lines. But it's generally a pretty, all things considered, an excellent episode.
It's zingy, I would say. It is full of back and forth.
I was saying in previous podcasts. The whole sitcom was actually beige. And I may have to recalibrate my opinions, because this really was an outstanding 25 minutes of sitcom mania, really.
I think once you've got the archetypes set now, as we do, you know, And, you know, basically, you know, Willy and Alf are into the back and forth, which is really the backbone of the whole sort of series, them sort of being the voices of reason in different capacities, I guess. You know, because Alf is the voice of reason in this particular episode. He has higher intentions.
Yes.
On his mind, as I say, because he's very much concerned about nukes, which in the 80s, you know, it's few bigger topics.
It's the classic Mork and Mindy setup where the alien observes the Earth with fresh eyes and comes up with solutions to the problems that people out on the Earth cannot see. But he does it in a slightly cack-handed manner, I think.
Listen, Alf, even if you could figure out how to call the president, you'd never get through because that signal scrambled.
So
it's illegal to break a scrambled signal. And it's immoral.
What about you and Tootsie?
I beg your pardon?
Well, last week, we all watched Tootsie on HBO. Isn't HBO scrambled?
Well, yes, but...
But what? Seeing that you don't pay for HBO, isn't what you're doing illegal? Immoral?
Absolutely not. They gave us a 2-week free trial, and they forgot to unhook it.
From our perspective, I think the first time I ever sort of knew about American cables and all that was that Simpsons episode where they get the illegal cable for the boxing, and it's so heavy-handed and moralising with Lisa and everything. Mm. And you just think, oh, God, you're just like, now, you know, the amount of piracy that goes on.
Yeah, and so Alf doing the bootleg HBO thing as a throwaway gag. It's quite punk rock, really, isn't it? For the without all the moralising and head scratching.
Yeah, because hilariously, they're mainly watching it to watch Tootsie, because back then, the home box office was just playing a very small amount of content on a loop.
They love Tootsie. They watch it. They've watched it twice so far in the series. So.
Now we say they, that's of course the Tanner family. Willie, yes. The head. The daughter, Lynn, absolutely awful. Like a hideous character at the start of this, because there's lots of squabbling over the telephone.
Yeah, she comes in whining.
I want to know my own phone.
I also thought that it was appropriate for an episode about nuclear devastation that she seemed to be dressed as an Atomic Age 1950s secretary as well. She's not exactly on the cutting edge of 80s fashion, is Lynn, despite being a hip 16-year-old with a boyfriend that she's whining about on the phone.
Oh yes, she's still dating Lash, isn't she? Who was mentioned in the pilot, which is brilliant.
As yet unseen, Lash.
As yet unseen, yes. And yeah, there's just a lot of family stuff in this opening thing, but it does actually set up the point of the program, which is Alf feels he needs to do more to get this message out about, you know, disarmament.
Mm.
And
he's doing good, is what I'm saying.
He is. Again, this is the thing with Alf, is like, he's so inconsistent sometimes. It's like, the last episode he was there, he quote-unquote trashed the house, but moved some paintings around, all the food. And then this one is like trying to save the world.
Well, this one, he's a goody two-shoes now, trying to save the world. Even later in this episode, in about 10 minutes' time, he becomes as obnoxious as we've ever seen him at the moment.
This is fair for things that do occur in the episode. But for now, basically, Alf's deciding to get the message out to a more important person than someone on the telly. And he rewires Willie's radio stuff that we saw again in the pilot. To get a very special audience indeed.
Yes, I know. Now, he's there humming the Jetsons theme tune in the garage, building this radio receiver, which is a lovely bit. It's a lovely bit of business, I think. And Willie comes in with the leftovers of the dinner, the Chinese takeaway, and Alf goes, "What's that?" And Willie goes, "It's twice cooked pork." And Alf goes, "Huh, looks like twice eaten pork." Now, that's just a throwaway gag, but it made me think, part of the genius of Alf are all these jokes he makes that you yourself can use in real life. There's like identikit jokes that Alf comes up with from time to time. Then almost dad jokes, really. But, you know, you can imagine kids watching that, and then later in the week, when they get the twice-cooked pork takeaway on a Friday night, they're able to reuse Alf's joke, and you know, the family will fall about laughing.
It's very Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes almost, like, you know, commenting on his mother's food and stuff. Yeah, it's that kind of like little zingers that you can keep in your back pocket. Yeah,
exactly, exactly. There's a lot of that in Elf, these sort of silly one-liners that would just don't work when they're not being said by a talking carpet.
And also, Alf turned down food, which is...
He must have been busy.
Proves he's got a higher purpose, which is to speak to the president.
Well, indeed, yes. This is why he's building this transceiver, so he can... I don't know how he'd worked. If he's this clever at building a receiver to get through to Air Force One, he must be able to fix his bloody spaceship.
Exactly, yes. Yes, my I've also read that. It's like he can retune to get onto a specific broadcasting line, which I suppose a little bit easier back then, you know, if we're actually talking about the technicals and stuff, you know. I'm fairly sure we all had a mate or an uncle who had one of them special radios in the 80s and 90s that did police and taxis and all that sort of stuff, which is all sort of behind sort of private bands now, which is very very unfair for us nosy bastards.
But the other thing about this scene, Willie seems to own a lot of oscilloscopes.
I think they are just shorthand for science. Science is here in this general area.
The 80s oscilloscope shortage was largely down to the Tanners, I think, stockpiling them for whatever reason.
Well, last episode, telescopes, this week, oscilloscopes.
What next?
So I just think he's a scopesman. Is it? What else? Well, sensing scopes.
Colonoscopy?
There you go. It's going to be fun. Oh, no. I might skip that episode. So, yes, Alf rewires Willie's radio to get to Air Force One, which is definitely not a very small set.
But this is exciting because it is a set and it's a different set. We're starting to see sets that aren't there. This is a thing I love about this episode. There's so much going on. We've banged through a lot of plot already and now we've got more sets and there's more sets to come. They've sort of thrown everything in this episode. Plot-wise, set-wise, music-wise. There's some great music in it as well. It's excellent all round, quite frankly.
Air Force One, Hogarth speaking. How may I help you, sir or madam, as the case may be? Alf? Alf who?
ALF. Maybe it stands for some radical subversive commie pinko group.
Could be a family name.
Just look it up.
Looking, sir.
And give me an immediate trace on this call.
Tracing,
and
sir.
And punch up the speaker. You should listen to this.
Punching and listening, sir.
Yeah, so we get onto Air Force One, where Richard Sanders is playing Hogarth and Arthur Rosenberg is playing Mr. Defoe. And, you know, basically, through comical misunderstanding of Alf's, you know, you better stop these nukes or something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, how do you phrase it? One of them goes, is this a threat, Mr. Alf? I liked the way they called him Mr. Alf as well. That made me laugh. And he said, of course it's a threat. Thinking it's a threat to him rather than it's a threat from him. So, listeners, you understand sitcom complications, and this is what has happened here.
And yet, they put the serious music under it again. They're very sparse of the serious music, but when they want it to hit, that pathos, you know, boom, they don't mess about, and they're like, oh, I see, well. And you know shit's about to go down somewhat serious.
No, they make it very clear. They make it very clear with the musical stings. In their attempt to work out who is actually calling them, they look up Alf in their database, and they come up with the American Laundry Federation and the Association of Lawn Fertilizer. Now, I thought this was a really good bit, and it's the sort of thing what Alf could possibly stand for. It could be an excellent running joke, especially with the sort of the wacky, oddball surrealism of Alf.
Yeah,
it's never really touched on again, I don't think, in the series itself from this point onwards. This episode, I think there's one more ALF. In this episode. The Alabama Lunatic Fringe, that was it.
Yeah, because of course there is the Animal Liberation Front, which
exactly
over here, but you know that's probably where, you know, we think of and Alison Meyer, obviously.
Of course.
They never think it's her.
I looked into this, there's not a lot of Alfs in America. I wondered if this was a different way that we, the British, perceive Alf in a different way, because Alf is a popular name over here.
Certainly in the 80s. Alf Roberts.
There's lots of Alfs, lots of Alfreds. If you look on Wikipedia, there's many Alfs from the Scandinavian countries.
And
there's
many Alfreds. Many
Alfreds from Britain and Europe. But you look from America, there's one living Alf on Wikipedia, and that is Alf Clausen, the composer to this very and this very series.
Was he? Was he the composer of Alf as well?
Yeah, he wrote the theme tune. Alf is not necessarily, you know, we think of Alf, we think of, I don't know, Alf Roberts in a trench coat and a hat or something.
We think of middle-aged men.
Exactly. Yeah. So if Alf had a more E.T.-esque name in Britain, he may have been cooler, is what I'm saying. I think that's what I'm saying, anyway.
That's not a bad show, actually. So
anyway, that's my research for the week. That is my research for the week.
Well, I enjoyed it very
much. Done and dusted. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
I enjoyed it very much. And you know what? I might just break this in now. I normally leave this to the end of the show, which is our most valuable MVP. I can't remember what we decided it is. But I think Richard Sanders playing Hogarth, which is the kind of the more comedy of the two on Air Force One.
Mm.
Every line he's got is brilliant. He's got so many great gags.
He's got a great voice as well. I'm sure I looked him up and he's in WKRP in Cincinnati and is that his main thing? And a million other things.
He's the main character in Day of the Tentacle, the Lucas Arts game. Spun off from Maniac Mansion.
Hey, aren't you Weird Ed Edison, the paramilitary nut?
Why, yes, do I know you?
Yeah, I'm Bernard Benouli. I broke into your house 5 years ago, kidnapped your hamster, broke into your piggy bank.
Nope, doesn't ring a bell.
And I thought, chef's kiss. I thought everything he had in this was absolutely fantastic. So I'm putting that out now. I think he might be my MVP of this episode.
Well, I'll throw mine in now then, seeing as though we're at this stage and I don't want to spread it out throughout the episode. But I was going to get mine in a ghastly sort of commercial way to Sir Harry Shearer for his excellent upcoming impression and also his earlier ones as well.
This is fair. He is excellent. And I suppose he wouldn't... He would have been known. I think Shearer had just come off SNL. In fact, I need to look up if Alf was ever on SNL. Because it seems like... I mean, he clearly didn't host. But can you imagine if they'd just done, like, just straightforward sketches, but it just happened to be Alf? doing impenetrable sketches about NFL players, you know. So the upshot, of course, of Alf phoning in a threat to the highest office in the land is that the FBI comes for Willie, who's just excitedly put together his telephone usage chart after the business at the start.
Yeah, they're all poring over this chart, complaining that they've now got to get up at 4 a.m. to get their slot to do a phone call. When the doorbell goes and the FBI storm in and arrest Willie,
as a terrorist, because back then terrorists were funny.
indeed, Alf, as Willie is being dragged off, Alf appears at his window portal, saying, "Those HBO guys mean business," which is a lovely thing.
It is.
I, there's two other little bits about this section. As Willie is being arrested, they grab his chart, and Willie shrieks, "Not my chart!"
But it feels like that's how. It's not in sight or anything. There's no setup to him. They're just like, and they go, "Oh, by the way, this chart, which is just round the corner from the set, I'm having that as well."
Off camera, as he's being dragged out the garden, he goes, "Oh, hello, Mrs. Ockmonock." And I'm a real sucker for a good off camera gag, and that was tremendous.
Is that your top Willy moment?
It wasn't. No, I've got a few of them. There's a lot of Willy in this episode.
I mean, I think for me, they were all at the start, the top Willy bits. It's like when you grow up and have an ailing of your own, you'll understand.
My top Willy bit comes up now because we cut to the jail, another set.
A sitcom jail, a proper little bad sort of room.
And Willy is looking through the bars at Kate, and she goes, "Maybe it was wrong of Alf to call the president." And Willy does this beautiful sort of reaction where he wants to explode in rage, but he has to contain himself. And he goes, maybe, maybe. And it is some of the finest repressed acting I think you'll ever see in life. It lasts a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
But in an episode filled with great bits, like him being electrocuted in the garage earlier, I picked that one as my top Willy.
Okay, maybe it was wrong of Alf to call the president.
Maybe.
Okay, it was wrong. But, you know, you have to respect him for the way he feels about nuclear war.
I think it's commendable that he's willing to send me to jail for his beliefs.
Also in the scene, there's some lovely prison movie references that are probably above the head of most of the viewers.
Which was nearly my most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week,
right.
Where they're talking about it's Midnight Express.
And Papillon.
Papillon.
And Stir Crazy.
Yeah.
They're trying to decide which was the one where he broke his feet.
Yes, because in Midnight Express they made him eat bugs.
Yeah.
I believe that was nearly it anyway, as was the references to Tootsie on HBO and the Jetsons theme, but it's still to come.
Jetson theme, when we covered that, that was lovely. Because, you know, it was that distracted Alf when he was singing the theme song and he couldn't remember the line, and Willy was trying to talk to him. They got diverted by remembering the name of the boy from Jetsons. And it's that kind of, it's almost, it's this human interaction between Willy and Alf that is what makes the series a joy, quite frankly.
It's a question of respect and cooperation, of course, and courtesy. The three C's, cooperation, courtesy, and respect. Well, two C's and an R, but you see what I mean, huh?
Absolutely. Look, would you hold this wire while I turn on the juice?
Sure.
Right there.
You know, that's my shortwave radio!
Willy in jail, so Alf reluctantly decides to do something about it. Because suddenly he's gone back to being an ass.
He is. He's sitting there watching a videotape of the news report of Willy being arrested over and over again.
He is persuaded to phone back. And this time he does actually get through to Ronald Reagan.
Sir Ronald Reagan, obviously voiced by Sir Harry Shearer.
Yeah. And there's a fantastic joke about stopping the bombs, and he goes,
"We've got to stop the bombs," says Alf. And Reagan goes, "You're not going to bring..." I don't do the voice. "You're not going to bring up the Bonzo films again, are you?" he says.
Is there more than one?
No, that's the thing. Bedtime for Bonzo... I looked this up. I've done some more research, listeners. More research. Bedtime for Bonzo was a 1951 American comedy film. Now, a sequel that Reagan was in, of course. Reagan and a chimp. You know it.
Reagan and a chimp... Reagan and a chimp, they're getting up to scrapes. It's Reagan and a chimp. You know, that's a sitcom kind of premise. I'm just giving you. I'm throwing that out there for you.
The listeners can take that what they will. If there's any producers listening.
If they're watching, please stop.
stop looking at me. There was a sequel released called Bonzo Goes to College. Bonzo being the chimp. Chimp, not Reagan.
Now, let's stop right here, ladies and gentlemen. You're forgetting that Bonzo here is a genius. So please, let's not make questions too easy. Ask Bonzo any question you like. All right, now. Who'll be next?
Right here.
Yes, sir.
Who played the fiddle while Rome burned?
Well, that ought to be easy enough. Go ahead and tell the folks, Bonzo.
However, Reagan did not want to appear in the second film as he thought the premise was unbelievable. The chimp from the first film was also replaced due to having perished in a fire in 1951.
Oh, God. I mean, I thought he was going to say, of old age, but chimp, but not in a fire. Bloody hell.
No, it burnt to a crisp.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Now,
pour one out for Bonzo, wherever you are, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, my pop culture reference comes up now. My impenetrable pop culture reference.
So does mine, so I wonder if we've got the same one.
Is it when Alf goes, "I loved Patty's book"?
Yes, it is!
Excellent! Finally, we share a pop culture reference.
Indeed it is. And of course, Patty's book is a reference to daughter of Ronald and Nancy Reagan, who brought out a book in 1986.
Yeah, it wasn't long before the show was made, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty topical, and it was sort of a... It's sort of a novel, but it's heavily based on her life, basically, called Homefront, apparently written with Maureen Strange Foster.
What?
Apparently, yeah.
Good Lord.
So that was indeed, because I imagine that book was everywhere at the time.
Yes, I mean, she did ultimately, I believe, write an actual non-fiction
tell-all
account of a tell-all of her life, but this seemed to gain some sort of controversy. I started researching it, and to be honest, I lost interest, so make of that what you will.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It was, yeah.
Well, you know, if we were getting to a point where we're doing the Alpha Book Club, that'd obviously be...
We will get that point.
Middling.
Dream. Let's dream. Let's reach high. Let's dream. We will get that point.
If I didn't dream, I won't be talking about Alf right now.
It's true.
You know,
it's true.
Who is in many of my dreams. Sometimes clothed.
Really?
Moving on. So, of course, he gets through to Reagan, and I'm not sure it's any better. This time, you know, Al thinks he's done good again, but of course the FBI come back because they've traced the call this time. And what is the hilarious sight they're greeted with, John?
Of course, Brian is sitting at the controls, pretending to be the mythical Alf who has caused so much chaos.
And they go, "Bo," basically. No, you've just created an international terrorist incident.
Yeah. Brian, what are you doing? Brian, I thought his name was Alf. Yes, Alf's his nickname. Everybody's nickname is Alf, it seems.
Apparently so, yeah. Straight to the mind is Alf. Well, of course, the FBI, who will feature much later on in the story of Alf, don't seem to know what an Alf is.
No, that's not.
That never comes up, that it might be an alien life form.
Exactly. It was delivered to us in that pilot episode as a common acronym that we're all familiar with, but it seems it's perhaps not as popular as Willy once thought.
Is it okay to say that Willy's released? Released Willy.
Willy's out, ladies and gentlemen.
Willy's well out. Right out. Yes, of course, Willie's released from Priz because they can't, you know, obviously they've had a phone call while he's in there. It couldn't possibly be him. And so Brian gets a plaque.
Oh, yes.
For reasons.
Which Alf is slightly indignant about, that he didn't get a plaque. He's back on watching the TV again. He's the same chat show with them. A guest appearance by Charo. Now, that might have been my impenetrable pop culture reference of the week had the other one not been so good.
Yes.
It was a Spanish actress, guitar and singer who got to number 44 in the UK in 1977 with the hit Dance a Little Bit Closer.
I just know her as a reference on things. I've seen her as like a contributor. Exactly. In fact, I saw her recently on a documentary about Lucille Boyle and Desi Arnaz. And she was like, yeah, because Cuban and stuff like that, so it brought in someone. And she's one of those people who've had like 500 plastic surgery things and stuff, and she's 83. And so it's just, and she still has a very strong accent, even though she's probably been in America for like 65 years. But yeah, she actually find footage of her from when she was younger. She's quite extraordinary. And yeah, did not penetrate the UK.
Unlike Willy. Willy penetrated the UK with some considerable force.
I think you could almost say he was Wicked Willy. Except there was one, so they had to rename it Boss Willy over here.
Oh, dear. Well, there was an unusual closing credits to this episode. Where they're all, there's a Polaroid picture of them holding the plaque, which gradually changes as more members of the family join the picture. And I don't really understand what the gag was.
It's not a gag. It's literally just an effect.
It's just some Polaroid pictures where they've all got the Richter screen of hostages.
Yeah.
Holding this plaque that Brian was given to save the world or whatever he did. I don't know. I've already forgotten.
Again, it's like it's such a good show, but there are all these weird bits that just like. Do you think they're just like... Because I imagine the Alf puppet, it's in sort of legend that it was quite cumbersome and it took ages to sort of get shots right and stuff. And I wonder if it was just those sort of like, right, it's 5 to 10. We need something.
Do you do think a lot of the times when weird things happen, it's because they just couldn't be arsed anymore? Because it is great. And I don't want this podcast to come across as us rinsing Alf all the time, because this was an outstanding episode of a sitcom. This was brilliant. It was funny. It was snappy. Lots happened. There's so much plot, so much going on, and it was just great all round, quite frankly.
Yeah. And again, it's interesting that Alf episodes so far are sort of in two camps. Either loads happens of nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes.
The drama is high or low, but it's definitely much more interesting than, I think, history and even our own memories of it have particularly given credit to.
No, it's been excellent so far.
Although we are, every episode, getting nearer to the special Christmas. So, which it's going to be. I wonder if we can get to that by actual Christmas. Who knows? All I know is that was Alf Splaining with me, Ben Baker.
And me, John Matthews.
And if you like it, please do, you know, all the subscribing and liking and stuff. We've got social media now, haven't we? We have.
Check out my MySpace and my Bebo page.
Oh, I can't wait to go to Bebo. My mum won't let me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, check the information with the podcast. All the stuff will be in there that you need for an Alf-filled... Don't say crevice. Existence, not crevice.
Alf-filled crevice. No, that's what we're going to go with. That's going to be the banner on the Twitter account now.
Oh... Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yo, Charles, que pasa? Yeah.